We're going to be learning Lukutei Sichas Chelek Chav Dalet, the second sicha for Parshas Ekev. This sicha is going to be talking about the concept of that Hashem lo yisapanim lo yikach sheichad, that Hashem does not show favor and he does not take a bribery. And it's going to be focusing on Rashi's pshat. How does Rashi explain it? Because l'chayra, there's a stira, which is asked many places in Gemara, as we'll see. That one place it says that Yisa Hashem panim alacha, that Hashem will show you favor. And then our parsha says lo yisa panim, that Hashem doesn't show favor. So that seems to be a contradiction. So the Gemara gives different answers for that. And in Rashi, Al Pi Pshuta Shemikra, we're going to see how Rashi explains Al Pi Pshuta Shemikra. So that'll be very interesting. The second thing we're going to discuss is the idea of Sheichad. What Sheichad is Shaykh Bahashem? And again, we're going to be focusing on how Rashi explains it. Rashi seems hard to understand. He says it's the sheichad of lefayif soiba mamein to appease Hashem by giving him money. What exactly does that mean that you're going to bribe Hashem with money? That doesn't seem to be, what does that even mean? And we'll also look at the Rambam, where the Rambam says it means to be faisim with mitzvahs, and we're going to compare Rashi and the Rambam, why that Rashi learned his way, and also, the pshat of the Rambam. And then finally, we're also going to discuss the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, the end of Perek Dalet, where it says, that Hashem, it says also over there that Hashem does not take, that he doesn't have the union of loy masaponim, loy mikach shoychad, that Hashem doesn't have the whole idea of showing favoritism and the idea of shoychad. So what exactly is the difference between the pirush in the Mishnayos and the pasuk in Chumash? If it's being quoted, and if the Mishnah is adding that in Pirkei Avos, which is mili dechasadusa, it's adding another layer. So we're going to look, according to Rashi, what is that additional layer that the Mishnah is discussing? And finally, and probably we'll put this into a second podcast, but we'll also look at the Rambam's Pshat and Pirush Mishnayos and how the Mefarshim ask on the Rambam and different explanations that are given to explain how the Rambam learns that Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. So you'll be at the end of this podcast or maybe a second podcast. Okay, so let's start. So it says in this week's Parsha, this is in Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Zayin. It says, "Kehashem alakeichem hu alakei lakim v'adayne ha'adaynim hakel ha'gadol ha'giba v'anera asher lo yisapanim leikach sheichad." It is discussing how Hashem, he's the supreme Hashem, the great, the mighty, and the awesome Hashem, who shows no favor and takes no bribes. So what exactly, what does that mean? What does it mean he does not show favor? And as I mentioned at the beginning of the shir, l'chayru, this is a stira. And we've said by the Birchas Kainim that Hashem is Yisapanim, that Hashem does show favor. But now we're saying that Hashem does not show any favor. So Rashi explains that this is how the Mefarshim learn what's bothering Rashi. So they explain that Rashi answers in Tifruku Ulai, that if you're Pyrek Ayo, that the difference in the Birchas Kohanim and us is like Birchas Kohanim. It says that Hashem, Yisa Hashem Panav Alecha, Hashem will show you favor and give you peace. He'll give you shalom. So over there, it's talking about the general attitude that Hashem has, that Hashem will turn, like Yisa Hashem, Hashem will raise up and show favor, meaning he'll turn his attention towards us and make sure that we have shalom, we have this concept of peace. And then our pasuk is telling us that when does that apply? That's when you're doing Torah mitzvahs. But if you're Pyrek Ael, then lo yisapani, then you won't show this favor. So in other words, the idea of Hashem showing favor is somewhat conditional. It's conditional that you're not Pyrek Ael. If you're Pyrek Ael, you won't get it. But if you have the Kabbalah soul, then you will get this nesias panim from Hashem. So the problem with this explanation of Rashi and what's bothering Rashi is, first of all, it seems very obvious. Rashi doesn't need a comment. If that's how Rashi's learning the psukim, this seems to be a very obvious concept. We've had this already before in the Torah. We have a whole parshas b'chukayisai, which is full of curses. You can ask the same question. Hashem says, Yisa Hashem panav alecha, v'yasam l'chal shalom. And then we have parshas b'chukayisai tells us all the klalos. But it's clear and understood that parshas b'chukayisai is talking about when you do averus, when you're not doing the ratzon of Hashem. So if that's the Pirush of the pasuk, then Rashi really wouldn't have had to need to say anything. It would have been very obvious. And a second problem, and maybe even more fundamental problem, is that's not how Rashi learns the Birchas Kohanim.
in by the Birchas Koinim, Rashi says that Yisa Hashem Panav Alacha means that he'll be Kovish Kase, that he will subdue his anger, that Hashem will Yisa Panav, he means he's going to subdue his anger. Meaning, why would Hashem be angry with us? The reason why Hashem is angry, because obviously we're not doing what he wants. We're not doing the Ratzon of Hashem, and therefore there is an anger there. And Hashem is saying, or the Koinim are giving a bracha, that Hashem will still show you favor. How could the Koinim give such a bracha? If Hashem doesn't show favor, Hashem is lo yisapan him, he doesn't show favor, how can you ask for a bracha that he should show you favor? That's not one of the midas of Hashem. Elamai, there must be some type of interpretation. And therefore, Rashi, the way how these Mefarshim are explaining Rashi, that Rashi's trying to tell us that the difference is that over there it's just talking about a general a favor that Hashem has shown us, that he'll give us peace, that does not fit, because Rashi says clearly that over there it's not just talking about a general showing of favor, but rather it's talking about when a person is doing something wrong. And even when a person is still doing wrong, the Kohenim are giving us a bracha that Hashem should forgive us, and he should hold back and should hide his anger from us. So I believe the yis upon him over there and the yis upon him by us is exactly the same thing. So why over there is Hashem showing us favor? Then in our pasuk it says lo yis upon him, that Hashem doesn't even have this concept of showing favor. So that's the shaila. And to make this question even stronger, let's look at the shas. This concept is brought in a few places in shas. And the first place is in Brachas, Daf Chaf Amud Beis, where the Malachi Shars asks this question to Hashem. That one pasuk says that you're not Yisapanim, and then says you are Yisapanim. So the Malachi Shars, so Hashem answers, how can I not be Yisapanim? How can I not show the Yidin favor when they're machmirim on themselves that by for benching? That midah raisa, the only time a person needs to bench is vachal to v'savat, if you're satisfied. But they're machmir upon themselves that they'll even bench if they eat a kazais or a beta, according to Machlokes or Meir Yehuda, how much you need to eat midrash to be chayv if it's a kazais or a beta. But the point is that midrash is you don't need to eat, you don't need to make a bracha even if you ate a beta. You need to eat, you need to make a bracha, a bracha achreina only if you're satisfied. So Hashem says if they're so machmer themselves, and they're going lefnim shur sedin to make a bracha, then I'm also going to go lefnim shur sedin, and I'm also going to show them favor. So that's how the Gemara answers it over there. But the point in is, the main point which is relevant to us is, that the Gemara learns the psukim the same way. That both psukim are talking about Hashem showing forgiveness, Hashem showing favor and forgiving the Jewish people. A second place where it's brought is in Sachas Rosh Hashanah, on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, and over there it actually gives two answers. The first answer it gave is that one is Ben Adam L'Chaveri, that Ben Adam L'Chaveri, that Hashem is Lo Yisapanim, but it's Ben Adam L'Makim, that Hashem will forgive you. And the second answer it brings there is, if it's before the Gzar Din or after the Gzar Din, that before Hashem makes the decree, makes the Gzar Din, then Hashem will show favor. The judgment is still going on, so the judgment is going on, then Hashem will show favor to the Yidin, and therefore the bracha, the Birchas Koinim that we're getting, is something which is helping us, that Hashem will be more lenient, he'll look at the, I guess, the evidence in a more favorable way. But once the Gzar Din is already made, then it's too late, then it's Lo Yisapanim, then Hashem does not show favor once the Psak Din is already there. And the Gemara Nida, Ayin Amud Beis, gives the same answer, it's before the Gzar Din or Acher Gzar Din. So again, we have three places over here in Shas. Each of those three places are learning not like how these Mefarshim understand Rashi, rather how it seems like Rashi is saying very clearly. Both of them are talking about Hashem showing forgiveness. Just to mention an interesting Tosfos before we go weiter. Tosfos explains that we see that there's a few answers in the Gemara, but Tosfos tells us that the main answer of the Gemara is really Kodim Gezar Din and Acher Gezar Din. He says that's the essential, the final answer. As we see, Rosh Hashanah brings two, but he says the final answer was Kodim and Acher Gezar Din. Pesachas Nida only brings Kodim and Acher the Gezar Din. And he says in Pesachas Brachas, he says that's really a Hemshech. The Pesachas Brachas is where it says that the reason why Hashem shows us favor is because we're machmir matma lefnim, we go lefnim mishur sedin, and we make a bracha achreina, even for a gzais or a beta. He says that's explaining why Hashem is lenient to us before the gzar din. Meaning, that Malachi Asharis, according to Tosfos, are asking Hashem, why is it that by the yidin, you show favor before the gzar din? By Goy, it doesn't make a difference if it's Koydin Gzardin, Ach Gzardin, it's Lo Yisapanim. But by the Yidin, there is a certain Nisiyas Panim, Al Kapanim Koydin Gzardin. So therefore Hashem answers, how can I not show them favor before the Koydin Gzardin? They're being Machmer on themselves, they go Lefnim Shur Sedin, therefore I also conduct myself, mida connected mida, in a way of lefnim shurus din. But all of that, according to Taisus, would be kaidim gzardin. So according to Taisus, the way you learn the Gemara Brachas is that malach shurus, we're only asking about kaidim gzardin, and the reason why Hashem's makel to us, or goes lefnim shurus din, is because we're machmir on ourselves. So therefore Hashem also shows lefnim shurus din. But the point is, from all these sources, we see, again, that both psukim are talking about forgiving Hashem. And that's how Rashi learns up Pshuta Shemikra. What is interesting, one other interesting point, is that Tosfos and Rosh Hashanah, those in those places that I mentioned, says learns the Psukim actually, he says, up Pshuta Shemikra, he says, it's not a Shaila. Tosfos says, up Pshuta Shemikra, it's not a Shaila, because when it says, Lo Yisapanem, he says, that's talking about the person. Hashem will not forgive the Pnei Adam, or the, even though he might be an elder or he might be a tzaddik, rather lo yisapanav, Hashem will not show any favor to a person. When he says vayisa Hashem panav alacha is panav, it's talking about the face of Hashem, that Hashem will turn or raise his face to show you favor, to give you peace. So Tosfos is actually learning how these mefarshei Rashi were understanding the Rashi initially. So over there, Tosfos is actually saying that is the Pshuta Shemikra. The Pshuta Shemikra is that Birchas Kohanim is just a general bracha that Hashem will focus on us. And then we have our pasuk of Lo Yisapanim is talking about when a person does something wrong and there's a court case in heaven about him, Hashem is Lo Yisapanim. So that's how Tosfos actually does learn that. That's the Pshuta Shemikra. But, as we said, from the Gemara, it's clear that the Gemaras do not learn it that way. And even Rashi on the Chumash, it's clear that he is not learning that way. And as the Mashah says, that he asks on the Tosfos, that how does Tosfos know that when it says Lo Yisapanim, it's talking about the person, that Hashem won't forgive the Pnei Adam, the forgiveness of for the person. He says Lachayr, when it says Panim, it's referring to, like the whole pasuk is talking about Hashem. Adayne Adayne, Hagad, Al Hagiba, Bandaira, it's all referring to Hashem. So Lo Yisapanim means Hashem won't be Yisapanim. He says Lachayr, that's how the Gemara is learning it. Therefore, according to the Marsha, he says that he does not like Tosfos' pshat. Rather, he is understanding that the panim that's being referred to in both psukim is both referring to the Pnei Hashem, and therefore Hashem shows forgiveness. Hashem raising his face is the idea of Hashem showing forgiveness to us, and therefore there is a stira. Tosfos wants to say that the Gemara's question is really because it's more al derech hadrash. Like al derech hadrash, it's learning that when it says panav, by both places it means the Pnei Adam, that the Hashem shows forgiveness to the person. So it's not Hashem turning his face, but rather Hashem is raising up the individual. He's showing favor to this individual. He says, but that's al derech hadrash. The Malachei Shoras are asking the interpretation why Hashem shows favor to people to forgive them. But if he says al pshuta shemikra, there's no real question. But according to Marshan, clearly according to Rashi, and Pashtus of the Gemara, it seems like there is a question al pshuta shemikra, which is that there seems to be a steer in the psukim. The Rebbe also points out in R4 that in Makutei Torah, the Alter Rebbe also learns the psukim that it's both referring to the Pnei Hashem. The Alpi Chassid is also that the two psukim are talking about the Pnei Hashem and two different dargis in Ruchnius of Lo Yisapanim. Okay, so that's regarding that Rashi. The second Rashi is, it says Lo Sikach Sheichad. So the question is, what type of Sheichad would Hashem take? A person does something wrong. So Hashem, if it's a regular human judge, the person might take some type of bribe and pask in your favor. But he says, well, Hashem, that's not going to work because Hashem doesn't take Sheichad. So what type of Sheichad would there be? So Rashi says, L'fai Seva Mamon, to appease Hashem with Mamon. So what is this expression, to appease Hashem? So the Reim explains that L'fai Seva means that it's by Hashem, obviously there's no idea of evil sadin, of Hashem changing the din or corrupting a law, corrupting the din. By Hashem, there is no such concept of sheker. Hashem is complete MS. There is, like, there's not even a havimin in the pasuk that a person would be able to give a bribe to Hashem to be able to change, and Hashem should do an evil sak and corrupt the din. That's not shaykh by Hashem. What is shaykh by Hashem is that even if a person is guilty, Hashem will forgive the punishment. That's something with Hashem Shaykh. A person does something wrong, Hashem will forgive it. After all, Hashem is the Baldin. Hashem is the one that gave us the command. Hashem is the defendant. He's also the judge. So if Hashem wants to forgive the Averis that we did and not give us punishment, that's, of course, that's his prerogative. So the Faisim Amamim is that you're trying to appease Hashem. The appeasing is you did something wrong and you're not doing tshuva clearly. Tshuva would help, but over here you're trying to mefais Hashem by giving him money. But he says, the Reim says he doesn't understand exactly what does it mean, money. Like, what do you mean you're giving money to Hashem? And he leaves it with the Tzarech Ian. Furthermore, he asks, L'chayra, why doesn't Rashi just explain it like the Rambam? The Rambam gives a very nice pshat, and he says it's referring to the idea of mitzvahs, that a person could think that he'd be able to mefayis Hashem with a mitzvah set. If a person has 1,000 mitzvahs, and he did an avera, so Hashem will take one of those mitzvahs and erase the avera, now you have 999 mitzvahs. So the pasuk's telling us, no, it doesn't work that way. Hashem doesn't take sheichad. If you get reward for the mitzvahs that you did, and you get punished for the averas that you did. Why doesn't Rashi just learn it like that? That a mitzvah doesn't cancel out an avera. And again, he leaves off with the tzarechia. So those are the two questions on Rashi. And the Rebbe brings one more. He says in the Divrei HaMaskil, it says, La'yikach sheicha. Why does Rashi quote the words La'yikach? L'chayr, if Rashi's main problem is trying to understand what the sheichad is, and he's saying sheichad is the fais of the mamre, why does he have to bring the words La'yikach? Why is that? He doesn't seem like he's explaining the idea of La'yikach. So regarding these first two questions, we're going to start off first. First of all, number one, what does it mean that you're going to bribe Hashem with money? That's something which is not even shaykh and mitzias. That's actually one of the problems. The Rambam, when he gives this interpretation, pretty obviously says one of the problems is, he says, Hashem cannot have bribery, and Hashem, what's the idea of bribery with money? So the Gerarie wants, gives two explanations. The Gerarie wants to say, it means a carbon, that a person will use his money to buy a carbon which he brings to Hashem. So he's giving money to Hashem through a carbon. And the idea of a carbon is that it brings forgiveness. And the pasuk is trying to tell us that even if you use your money to buy a carbon and you want to bring, get forgiveness, but you don't do tshuva, then zevach rishayim te'eva, if you didn't do tshuva, it's not worth anything. So halay yisapanim, that even if you take money and take your property and you bring it as a carbon, if you don't do tshuva, it's not going to help. Second answer he gives is, it says that there is this idea of taking truma and be makdish to the Beis HaMikdash. A person is able to be makdish his property or his money to the Beis HaMikdash. So the second option over here is that even if you bring money to Hashem, meaning you're donating to the Beis HaMikdash with the Shem's house, Hashem's not going to be bribed by that. Divrei David gives a third interpretation. He says, over here we're talking about any mitzvah that's connected to the idea of Nesinas Mamon. Like, let's say tzedakah. So tzedakah is connected to that, connected to money. So the vart is that if you did an avera and then you want to give money for tzedakah or other types of mitzvahs, that's not going to help. Some even bring a little bit of a knach to it, that it's not only that you're giving money, instead of doing tshuva, but rather, let's say a person stole, or he's not honest in his business. And his excuse is, you know what, I'm going to give the money to for a gemach, to give out loans to poor people, or I'm going to give tzedakah. So Hashem says, if you stole the money, or if you got the money in the wrong way, you can't be mefayis me by giving that money to tzedakah or doing some type of mitzvah with it. So those are another one, the same idea that Maskil David brings, that the idea of giving money, he says, to be machzik loim de teira. Person says, I want to, a person has an obligation to learn Torah. He says, he doesn't want to learn Torah. So what he's going to do is he's going to give money to those who are learning Torah. So he will be a machzik. Eitz chayim yil machzikim ba. So he says, it's a eitz chayim. So he should be paskin for life, even though he's not learning Torah itself. And Torah is the inyan of atma dveikim hashem chayim kol chama. Yeah, to dveikis in Torah, that's how he gives you life. But you'll give money to those who learn Torah. He says, that also won't help because the idea of eitz chayim machzikim ba is only for those who are unable to learn. But for those who can learn, then they have to learn themselves. Okay, these are all very similar approaches. The point is that they're understanding when Rashi says money, he doesn't mean literally money. No, he means the money that will be used for some type of mitzvah. And the point is that by giving money for a mitzvah, that does not fix everything else you've done wrong, unless you've, of course, done tshuva. And that would explain what Rashi means by money. And regarding the second question, why doesn't he just learn like Rabban? You know, if we're talking about money, and we're saying the money that a person uses for a mitzvah, why does it have to be money? Why don't you just say, it's very similar to the Rambam. The Rambam's saying that you're not going to be able to bribe Hashem by doing mitzvahs. Rashi says, no, it means money, and it's money that could be used for mitzvahs. Why don't you just say mitzvahs like the Rambam? So the Maskil of David wants to say is because, since the Pasuk uses the expression of Sheichad, and Sheichad is
usually with money. The way how you bribe a judge is with money. So Rashi understands from the Lashon of the Pasuk, since it's using Sheichat, and Sheichat's usually with money, therefore, we're probably talking about mitzvahs which have some type of connection to money, and we're saying that by giving money, that won't fix whatever issues we have. That's how these two explanations or answers regarding the Lo Sikach, unfortunately don't discuss why Rashi brings those words in. But the problem with these interpretations are, the main issue is that Ikar Chaser Min HaSefer, is that if Rashi means a carbon, why doesn't he just say carbon? Lefaisa b'carbon, or lefaisa b'truma, or why is he using? It's not really hinted within the words of Rashi. This is what he's referring to. If he's referring to one of these things, he should really just be saying that's what it's referring to. Because so that seems like the main issue, that it's not very clear from Rashi itself that when he says lefaisa b'mammon, he's really referring to lefaisa b'mammon, how it's relevant or connected to the inyan of mitzvahs. He should have said it much more clearly. And also, the answer that we gave from the Maskil Adav, another issue is really why doesn't he just give the answer of the Rambam, that it's talking about any type of mitzvah? So we explain it's because the Pasuk uses this expression of Sheichat. But he says, and that why does Rashi say that it's mitzvahs which are connected to money? Because L'chayr, conceptually, what's the difference? Conceptually, the Rambam makes the most sense. A person does something wrong, he does a mitzvah to in a sense, bribe Hashem, because that makes Hashem happy. So why does that have to be a mitzvah which is connected to money? So the answer we gave is because the Pasuk said Sheichat. Okay, but why does the Pasuk use that expression? The Pasuk had to use this expression of Sheichat and therefore it connects to money, use a different expression. Meaning is if the concept, the concept is really nothing to do with mitzvahs which are connected to money. It's the idea is that you do things wrong and you think by doing mitzvahs that could erase all the bad things that you're doing. So it doesn't have to be mitzvahs that could be, okay, I did something wrong, but I'm going to learn Torah for 10 hours. That will forgive it. I'll learn a masechta. It's the same logic. So why would the Pasuk use an expression which is Sheichat to express this? Use a different expression. A different expression that which we would be able to understand to mean that Hashem doesn't take any type of matana or any type of gift instead of a person actually fixing what he's doing wrong. And second of all, he says Sheichat actually doesn't need to be with money. We find the Gemara Ksubas Tafkuf Hey, it discusses many different types of Sheichat. So just assisting or helping a judge is considered a type of Sheichat. I forgot with which Amira that some feather fell on his shoulder, and one of the litigants came and took off the feather from the shoulder, something fell on his shoulder, he didn't realize he took it off. He says, no, I can't be your judge anymore because you did me a favor. So Sheikha doesn't necessarily have to be with money anyway, so that's hard to say that Rashi's proof is because it says Sheikha is with money. Sheikha doesn't need to be with money, Sheikha could really be with anything. So with a judge, maybe most times it's with money, but technically if you do any type of favor for the judge, that's also considered a type of Sheikha. Doing a favor. So therefore, in our pasuk, it really should mean any type of sheikha, which would mean any mitzvah. So the Rambam Pshat actually fits a lot better halachically, because since sheikha could be any type of money or any type of favor. So therefore, in our pasuk, it should also just mean any type of mitzvah. Why doesn't Rashi just learn like the Rambam, that it means mitzvah, because that seems to be the conception behind it. Why is he specifying that it's money, mamim, which are somehow connected to some type of mitzvah? And the Chayr, as we said, if the Rashi did mean mitzvahs, then he should have just said that. He should have said a carbon, or any of these other mitzvahs. Okay. So the explanation. So we're going to start with the explanation for Loisapanim, and then we'll get to the Sheichat. So the pshat that Rashi is because Rashi is learning the entire Parsha. The Parsha starts off with the idea of Ata Shema Yisrael. Hashem tells the Yidden, Pasuk Yud Beis, Ati Yisrael, Ma Hashem, Alekecha Shol Mimach. Now Yidden, what is Hashem asking from you? Ki'im Liyiris Hashem, Alekecha. The only thing he's asking is to fear Hashem. So Rashi over there learns, Ata Yisrael, Rashi is troubled. What does it mean now? He says, now Yisrael, what is Hashem asking? The only thing he wants is fear. What do you mean? This now Hashem's asking for fear. L'chayr, Yir Shemayim is something that's mentioned many times in the Torah until now. This is not the source of Yir Shemayim. So what does Moshe mean that Ata Yisrael, now Hashem is only asking for Yira. Hashem asked for Yira already previously.
So Rashi says that Atisro Afafi Shasisim calls ice. Even though you've done all these things, which we've been discussing in the parsha earlier, which ultimately made them stay in the desert for 40 years, and the various that they did in the desert, especially the Chet Egel, the Meraglim, all the other issues that they've done. Even though you've done all this, Adenu Rachma v'chibas aleichem, His mercy and His love are extended over you. Machom asher hatasam lefanav, and all this that you sinned in front of Him, ein yishol mikam kim liyira. The only thing that Hashem is asking is for you to fear Him. So Rashi's understanding that in our parsha, it starts off with this idea that Hashem is showing favor to the Yidden. That the pasuk starting off, At Yisrael, now Yidden, even though you've done all these things that we've discussed until this point, the only thing that Hashem is demanding from you is Yira. So even though you did wrong things in Lechayra, Hashem should demand a lot more from you. And Hashem, right? You should be much more medactic. You did this wrong, you should get punished, you should have to do extra mitzvahs, whatever it is. Up Yishur Sadin, because of all the sins that you've done, it should have been much, the psak din, or the demand of Hashem, should have been much, much harder, much more stringent, much more excessive. But Moshe tells them, nonetheless, At Yisrael, what does Hashem want? Hashem only just wants this one thing from you. Yiras Hashem. So in other words, the parsha itself starts off that Hashem is showing favor to the Yidden. And the favor that Hashem is shown to the Yidden, that even though he did all these sins, he still only is requiring one thing from you, which is Yiras Hashem. And ultimately he says, from Yiras Hashem, everything else comes, as it says, Lalachas Baldracha, La'avos, La'avodes Hashem, all these things ultimately come from this foundation of Yiras Hashem. But the one thing that he does demand is Yira, and that he will not forgive. He's not Mevater. And therefore, when the Pesukim continue until Pasuk Yedzayin, it says, Lo Yisapanam Likach Shaychat, he's referring to this one demand that he had. That this one demand that he has, he won't be Yisapanim. That's why Rashi translates, Asher Lo Yisapanim, which means, Im Tifruku Ayo. That Hashem will show favor if you have Kabbalah Sal, and you've done things wrong, then Hashem will show you favor, and He will forgive, but, If you're Pyrrhic Oil, meaning is that you don't have Yiras Hashem, Yiras Hashem is the foundation of Kabbalah Sol, if you don't have Yiras Hashem, you don't have Kabbalah Sol, then Hashem does not forgive that. And then Hashem will be medacted with you. In Tifriku Oil, then there's no more Nisiyas Panim. So this is how Rashi explains the contradiction, in other words. That when it says, Yis Hashem Panim Alacha, and he'll be Kodesh Kasei, that's Bederech Klal. A person does some things wrong, the Yidden are doing things wrong, Hashem will show the Yidden favor and He will forgive them. And He'll show them kindness. And He'll show them Erech HaPayim. He'll give them time to do tshuva. He'll be lenient with them. Whatever the calculations of Hashem will be. But at the point is, with the judgment that the Yidden will have for any of the other Averis, Hashem will show some type of favor to the Yidden. Kol Echav Echal Efi Dar Gosai. Whatever that favor would be, that, of course, is in the Cheshbon of Hashem. He says, but when it comes to this inyan of being Pyrrhic Oil, that the one thing I ask from you, which is the Yiras Hashem, which is a Kol B'dei Shemayim, Chutz Miyir Shemayim, this one inyan of Yiras Hashem, Im Tifriko Oil, Lo Yisapanim. If you're Pyrrhic Oil, then all this favor, you lose the favor of Hashem. So Lo Yisapanim, when does Hashem not show any favor to the Yidden? If they're Pyrrhic Oil, which, as the Rebbe explains, means the Shiriris Lebe Eilach, that he feels free from Hashem, that he's going to go after whatever he wants. So then Hashem's very careful. Then Hashem will be medactic and you'll get exactly what's coming to you. There won't be any favor being shown. Hashem will be medactic with your din. Therefore, in that scenario, then there's Lo Yisapanim. And then the pasuk continues, Lo Yikach Sheichat. So Rashi doesn't want to learn that Lo Yikach Sheichat means that you can't bribe Hashem with mitzvahs. Because once we already, since we're referring to over here a person that doesn't have Yiras Shamayim, that he was Pyrrhic Oil of Hashem, then it's understood that his mitzvahs don't have any value, or at least very little value. The idea of the mitzvah is that you're serving Hashem with Kabbalah Sol, like an Eved in front of his master. If you're Pyrrhic Oil, then what's the value of the mitzvahs at this point? The Rashi actually himself brings a Kol B'dei Shamayim Chutz Miyir Shamayim, that the only thing that really has value to Hashem is the inyan of Yiras Shamayim. So if you're missing the main thing, then of course, by trying to give him something which is not as important, that's not really a great substitute. So the point is like this. A, since over here, we're talking about a person that's Pirek El, then what's the value of the mitzvahs that a Pirek El is doing? Hashem doesn't need the mitzvahs. Hashem needs your mitzvahs. The mitzvahs is a way, what Hashem gives us, a way to connect to Him. If you're Pirek El, then the mitzvahs that you're doing in a way of prekasel to, in a sense, try to bribe Hashem, that already is missing the main element, which is the inyan of Kabbalah Sal. So those mitzvahs have no value. And second of all, even more important, is the whole point of this parasha is telling us that the one thing Hashem wants is Yira. That even if you did everything else wrong, Hashem will be yis upon it, but if you're Pirek El, if you don't have Yira, Yiras Hashem, this is something that Hashem doesn't forgive. So doing entire mitzvahs at this point, things which don't have the same level of value, Hashem won't forgive you for that. And He not only won't forgive you, He won't show you any favor. He'll be medactic with you. Just to maybe point out one idea, which was interesting, one of the Mefarshei Rashi bring, this was the, if I can find him, the Be'er Besada. The Be'er Besada has an interesting idea. He says, why is it that in the Psukim we see, it says, Yiras Hashem, the one thing he asks is Yiras Hashem, and then it continues, L'achas v'drachas, L'avos, it gives you a whole list of other things that Hashem wants. It just said, all he wants is Yira, and then it gives you a whole list of things that Hashem wants. Okay, so the Pasha answer is that Hashem wants Yira, and from Yira, Mimela, all these things will come, but his demand is Yira. That Hashem's demanding the Yira, and these other things He also wants, but they'll come in Mela from Yira, and then therefore, as we just mentioned, technically, if you're missing those other things, as long as you have Yira, Hashem will forgive them. Hashem will show you favor, at least. I shouldn't say forgive, Hashem will show you favor, which means the judgment will be early. So that's Pashut Shat, that it's Yira that's the one thing that Hashem demands. The other things, A, come to Mela, and B, Hashem will show favor as long as you have Yira's Hashem, even if you don't have these other things that usually come with it. He gives another interesting answer. He says it's because, it says in Chazal, Kol B'dei Shemayim Chutz Mi'Yira Shemayim. Which that means is that everything else that a person has, it says in the pasuk, mihik demani v'ashalein, that this is the pasuk that Eve said, that the Medrash learns that a person can't come with demands with Hashem. Like, I did a mitzvah, you know, give me my schar. I did this, the good thing, give me some type of payment for it. Because Hashem says, mihik demani, who preceded who? I gave you the house, and then you put a mezuzah on. So I'm supposed to give you a reward for putting on the mezuzah. Who gave you the house? You're putting on the mezuzah is like a payment to me, like a small payment to what I did. I gave you a whole house, and all you need to do is put on the mezuzah. So you're coming for demands for the mezuzah. I gave you the house. I give you a baguette, and you put on tzitzis. Who came first? It's always Hashem gave us something, and then we're, if you want to use the word, paying Hashem back or utilizing what Hashem gave us for a mitzvah. So you can never demand anything from Hashem. He says, Basha Inkin, when you come to the idea of Yira, it says, Kol B'dei Shemayim Chutz Mi'Yiras Hashem. The only thing that it completely comes from us is the union of Yiras Hashem. Therefore, he says, that's why that's the one thing Hashem demands from us. The one thing is the Yiras Hashem, because all the other things we're obligated to give to Hashem. Everything else that it continues in the list, we need to give to Hashem, because Hashem's done all these, Mihik Demani, Hashem did all these things for us. The one thing that Hashem didn't precede is Yira. Hashem didn't, it's not like we're putting on mezuzah, but he already gave us the house. But Yira, we're the one that's maschal. The Yira initially comes from us. That's why that's the one thing he asks from us, because it comes from us. So therefore, again, this is this idea. All the other mitzvahs, you're going to bribe Hashem. How could you bribe Hashem with mitzvahs? You owe Hashem those mitzvahs. The mitzvahs won't even pay back 1% of all the kindness that Hashem has done for you. The only thing that Hashem really cares about, the only thing that Hashem really wants from you is Yira's Hashem, because that comes completely from you. So you can't change what type of bribe could take that place. Okay, so therefore, Rashi does not learn like the Rambam, because again, that's really included in the idea of being Pirek El. Once you're Pirek El, then there's no mitzvahs. So rather, what is he saying? It must be something that even if though you're a Pirek El, I would have a Hava Mina that this could change or at least cause Hashem to be Meichel the punishment that you're supposed to have. What's the one thing that could work? Besides for tshuva and fixing one's ways. So Rashi says the one thing would be lefais v'mamon. Because we already seen a few times in the Torah that there's this idea of a koifer, or a pidyon. When a person says, person that kills someone. So the Torah says that when a person kills someone, you're not allowed to take a koifer from him. You're not allowed to take some type of payment to bring to, instead of the punishment. Leisiku kaifer, which means, as Rashi says, lo yifta bar mamon. So you killed someone, and therefore the person, if you're a murderer, you're chayav death. So I would think that as long as you give the payment of, let's say, the value of the person or your own value, you should be potter from death. You gave money instead of the nefesh. So Rashi tells us, or the pasuk tells us, loy tzichu kaifer. You're not allowed to take a kaifer to redeem your life. We find that same idea if your ox kills. But regarding an ox that kills a person, that the halacha is that you have to pay the value, machlokes, if it's either the value of the one that was damaged or the value of the one that was the nizik or the mazik. So machlokes is what you're supposed to pay, the nizik or the mazik. So that's also called a kaifer. So you caused, through your animals, someone to die. So in that situation, you are allowed to give a kaifer. And the idea of the kaifer is to redeem your own nefesh, that you yourself really should be killed because you caused this person's death through your property. But Hashem gives us a way to have a kaifer that you either give your own value or the value of the nizik. That's a machlokes. So I would think we find this idea of a kaifer in the Torah. By a murderer, it doesn't work. By an animal that murders, it would work, this kaifer. So I would think, okay, what's the vart in the kaifer? There's two parts in it. One is that you're paying the value of the, or either, again, you're bribing or you're giving something to the damaged party. Plus, you're causing a certain redemption for yourself. You're giving your own value. Or you're giving the person's value. So you're trying to accomplish two things. There's a part inside the makabel. The makabel is getting something from Anah. You're giving him money, therefore he's giving Anah. And there's also the aspect that you're giving something of yourself. And as we know that the Mayat says in Tanya, the Mayat of Tzedakah is that with that money you could have bought Chaya Nafshe. You could have bought Chaya Nafshe. Yachal Liknois Chaya Nafshe. So therefore when you give Tzedakah, you're giving Chaya Nafshe. You're giving money that could have given you life. So the idea of giving the kaifer is that you're giving your life. By money which buys life, you're giving that away, that you're giving part of your life away. So therefore, mida kenega mida, it works. At least by a kaifer by a behema. So therefore, there could have been such a hav minos of here. Person does not have yiras Hashem. He's being pyrko. He's not being an eved of Hashem. So he pulled himself away from his master. So what would I think maybe could be enough? So I'm an eved of Hashem. So I'll be mafayis Hashem with money. Means I'll give the value of myself to Hashem. And by giving that value of money to Hashem, that's ki'ilu, Hashem will get the same type of a hana. Right, again, by giving my value, whatever the mitzvah, the Rashi doesn't specify what type of mitzvah, but the idea is that I have a certain value, and my value really should be, I should really be used to serve Hashem, but I'm not. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that value that I have and give it to Hashem, to one of Hashem's causes, and that really could be instead of me. That could be a kofer instead of me, because it's really the same idea. It's not me, but it's the value of me. It's my chaya nafsh. I'm giving part of my life to Hashem, and therefore maybe that can take my place. So therefore, the pasuk says, lo yikach sheichad. Hashem doesn't take sheichad. Hashem's not satisfied with that. And the pasuk uses the expression yikach, taking, and as the Rashi writes down his Divrei Maskil yikach, because the idea is that it's not mitzad the person that it's not good, the giver. Mitzad the giver, maybe a taka should work. You're giving something of value. You're giving part of yourself over to Hashem. The reason it's not good is because la yikach, Hashem won't take it. Hashem doesn't want that. Hashem doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your money instead of you. The what Hashem wants is yiras Hashem. That's the one thing of value that you have, is really the yiras Hashem. So even if you're going to give money and that's going to be have the same value, you can do the same amount of mitzvahs, it doesn't make a difference. That stuff doesn't convince Hashem. Because ultimately what Hashem wants is yiras Hashem. That's the one thing that really truly has value, and therefore Hashem won't take any of these other things. Okay, so that explains Rashi's way of learning the psukim, and why he dafka uses the expression of mammon, because he's not referring to a particular type of mitzvah. It's more referring to the concept of what's going on. The faisei b'mammon means he's trying to hint to this, or say this, it's we're talking about the idea of money, that whenever we find the inyan of a kaifer, our opinion always refers to money. So over here, also the faisei b'mammon, and it won't work in this scenario. So the Rende Rebbe tells us that goes to the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos. We know that the minhag of learning Pirkei Avos during the summer. So in the end of the fourth parak, it tells us this idea of loy masaponim, loy mikach sheichad. So the question is, what is the Mishnah adding to our pasuk? Mishnah is mili dechasidusa, so of course it has to be adding something. So according to the Rambam, we already mentioned him earlier, it's hard to answer this question, because the way how the Rambam explains the Mishnah, he explains it based on our pasuk. He quotes our pasuk. He says this is the source of this Mishnah. The idea of this Mishnah comes from our pasuk, and then he explains what it means. But according to Rashi, it actually fits very well, because the pashup shot of the pasuk is referring to specifically the idea of prikasa and the idea of being a kaifer. Mash Enkein, the Mishnah is telling us the Rambam's shot. He says the Rambam's shot would work according to Rashi. He actually brings to the Reini Yoina, who brings the Reini Yoina on Pirshan Mashnayis, on the Pirkei Avos, brings the same idea of the Rambam, but he brings a pasuk from Divrei Hayamim. That's what the Rebbe brings, but I think the Rebbe's trying to say is that according to Rabbeinu Yonah, you could also say that Rabbeinu Yonah learns our pasuk like Rashi, and then the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos is at least connected to the inyan of this pasuk in Mishle. I guess you can ask the same question: what's the advantage from the Mishnah over the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim? But either way, okay. So what does the Rambam actually say? So the Rambam says, "Lo yikach sheichad." These are the taivas that a person does. Say 1,000 taivas and 1 ra. So that 1 ra Hashem will not forgive because of the great amount of taivas that he has. And he won't say, okay, you know what? He'll lose one of those 1,000 mitzvahs, but I won't punish him because of this bad. Rather, what's going to happen is Hashem will reward you for the good and he'll punish you for that one bad thing that you did. That's the inyan of la'ikach sheichad. And similarly, he says, the idea of la'isaponim is that a great person will be punished for what he does wrong. Let's say Moshe Rabbeinu, even though Moshe was, of course, the greatest tzaddik, nonetheless, he got punished for the thing that he did wrong. And also, Hashem will reward those who are Rasha. For example, let's say also Esav or Rasha, that Kibra V'aim, he got reward. Nebuchadnezzar, because he ran 4 steps in order to change the wording that he mentioned Hashem's name before the king's name, he also got rewarded. He got 40 years in, another 40 years in his malchus. The point is that Hashem doesn't show lois upon him. Rather, every single person will get reward for what they did right, punishment for what they did wrong, regardless if you're a great person, regardless of how many mitzvahs you had. So lois upon him is focusing more on the person. He won't show favor to a great individual. And lois sheichad, he doesn't look at the amount of mitzvahs and try to erase one mitzvah because a person doesn't aver. So das heißt, what does this mean? That the chiddush of the Mishnah is trying to tell us about our relationship with Hashem. A person could think that the relationship that we have with Hashem is that we do Torah mitzvahs, but that is all. It's all about me. It's all about the person. It says The purpose is for the individual. So therefore, if the whole purpose of Torah mitzvahs is just for me, so therefore, if I do something wrong and then I do something right, then they should just balance out. You know, look at all the bad things I did, all the good things, and then balance it out all at the end. And if, as long as the scales are on the good side, then everything should be okay. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is that the whole purpose of the mitzvah is not just about you, but rather it's about fulfilling the ratzon of Hashem. That's why it's mili dechasidusa. It's not just about you and your reward. That's a one level of Torah that has about reward and punishment. But mili dechasidusa is that you're looking at the Torah and the mitzvahs on a much deeper level, that it's about fulfilling the ratzon of Hashem. Therefore, since it's about a plan, Hashem has a ratzon and a plan, so every mitzvah and every time you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, that's another detail in this plan. This is another point of Hashem's ratzon. And if you fulfill it, you fulfill that ratzon of Hashem. If a person does an avera and he's over on the ratzon of Hashem, then he causes a certain pagam. So every time a person does a mitzvah or an avera, it's not canceling each other out. It's part of a plan. And you can, let's say you're making a tapestry and you can have a bunch of holes in the tapestry. It's not just, I sewed a bunch of things and then I have a bunch of holes in it, so they should just cancel out. No, there's a bunch of holes in the tapestry which you need to fix. And then you have a lot of good parts in the tapestry which you'll get paid for. So, the idea is that because you're trying to fulfill the ratzon of Hashem. So therefore, it's not a matter of, let's just equal it all out. It's about getting the job done. It's about fulfilling the ratzon of Hashem. Therefore, you need to fix everything which is bad, and everything you did good. Of course, that will make the connection to Hashem. As Rebbe points out, that this is the idea of mitzvahs of safs of a chibur. So you're making a connection to Hashem through the ratzon elyon, so every time you do something good, that's another type of connection, and a person does something wrong, then he has to fix that connection. So up here, this is the way how to understand our mitzvah according to Rashi. That when it says masay panim, it's trying to tell us that the relationship that you have, masay panim means that the relationship that you have with Hashem, Hashem shows you favor. It means that you're someone who, you're a great person that Hashem wants to show favor to. He says that's not based on, it's not based on like a measure between your mitzvah keneged avera. Your fabund, the connection that the person has, this idea of the masapanim is Hashem doesn't show favor to someone who's great or someone who's a rasha. That the, I'm not saying this very clearly. I'm sorry. So masapanim is showing favor to someone who's great. And the favor would be is that even though you did something wrong, Hashem will show you favor. He says, you know what? You're still a great person. The avera is not in character with you. I don't care about the avera. I'm looking at you. You're a great person and the avera doesn't affect who you are. That's masay panim. You're looking at the person and the veris, which he did, or something which is external, it's not really him, and therefore he just doesn't look at them. The idea of loikach sheichad is that you're looking at the veris and the mitzvahs, and you're weighing them or balancing that one against the other, that the mitzvah can erase an avera, and avera can erase the mitzvah, you're looking at the maisim. So he says, loy masay panim is that Hashem doesn't just look at the person and therefore forgive any avers or that he's done. That's not how Hashem works. As the Rebbe says, it's not going to become oisgeglichen, it's not going to become smooth through a mitzvah and an aver. That this connection that you have with Hashem doesn't just become smoothed out. And similarly, the nevera by laikach sheichad is the same idea, that the aver itself won't become erased through the mitzvah that the person does. So that would be the deeper explanation of Pirkei Avos, which is a deeper level than what the Pasuk is telling us. And then the Rebbe just finishes off that we do find one place where Hashem takes Sheichat, brings a Medrash, that says that David HaMelech says to Hashem that Hashem, he wants Hashem to judge him. So Hashem says, why do you want me to judge? Go to the Beis Din. So David replies to Hashem, the Beis Din doesn't take Sheichat because you said in the Torah that you're not allowed to take bribery, but you do take Sheichat in this world. So I'd rather be judged from you. And what's the sheikhad? The sheikhad is that because a person could do tshuva. It says, leichupar, but, because through tshuva a person is able to be forgiven. And it says, atal neichat sheikha min ha-shayim ba'al ha-hazah. You take sheikhad from the wicked in this world, which is tshuva ma'isim tevim tefilah ma'isim asu tefilah tshuva. The idea is that through a person doing tshuva, even that, the Rebbe doesn't really explain it over here, but the idea of the tshuva, ma'isim tevim tefilah are all connected to the idea of tshuva. It's really tshuva, and the ma'isim tevim tefilah are extensions of that tshuva. So the question, of course, that Hashem, what exactly is the, how is that a sheichad? Tshuva is not a sheichad, because what does tshuva mean? Tshuva means that you fix the aver that you did. That's one question. How b'chlal is tshuva in meaning of sheichad? L'chayar, tshuva is not a sheichad, rather you're fixing that what you did wrong. So it's fixing. Second of all, and everybody doesn't discuss the second point in the sikha, is how could Hashem even take Sheichat? Hashem is, of course, Kela. Hashem is MS. So the whole concept of Sheichat is not Shaykh Bahashem. So regarding the second question, the Rebbe discusses this in length in Chelik Lamed Dalet, as the Rebbe quotes in Ara 25 star. And regarding the first question, though, he also discusses there much more length and gives other answers and explanations, and he's Mavarit much more detail. Over here, it's very, very big answer. But he says, what's the Sheichat that we find by Tshuva? Is that Hashem considers the Avera as a Shoigig, or sometimes even as a Schuyas, or as he says, Schuyas Mamish. That, L'chayra, when a person does Tshuva, what does that mean? It means that Hashem forgives a person does Tshuva, he fixed what he did wrong. So Hashem can be Mavater on the punishment. You fix what you did wrong, you did Tshuva, Hashem will forgive, you won't get any punishments for that with which you've done wrong. That's how Tshuva should work. Well, how does Itaka work? It doesn't just work that Hashem forgives the punishment, but rather Hashem says the Avera is like a Shoigig, or it's like a mitzvah, or it's a Schuyas Mamish. How? A person did something wrong, so Hashem can forgive it, okay, the person does Shuvah, Hashem forgives the punishment, or forgives the sin. But how does he change the Avera itself? You're showing favor, saying, oh, this Avera, he murdered someone. The murder that he did was actually a good thing. What? Person steals. Oh, the stealing was actually a good thing. That seems like bribery. How could it be considered a shaygig, a schus? This is a bribery that causes a certain perversion of the din itself. So he says that's the shaykha that tshuva does. The shaykha that tshuva does is that he makes, if it's tshuva mira, it considers that zedainis kishkagais. If it's a higher level of tshuva, then it's zedainis kishkagais. This is how Kan Marsha explains it. And a person does an avera, because of that avera that he did, that pushes him to do more good to fix what he's done wrong. So, for example, like you make a person is mevatel Torah, so to make up for it, he learns twice as much. So that's, therefore, the zadainis is like a schus. It's not actually a schus, but it pushes him, because of the zadain, now he has many more schus. And the deepest level is that the zadain itself becomes a schus, literally, as the author explains in Tanya, that because of the zadain, you feel extremely far and distant from Hashem. So the zadain itself is the catalyst, is the energy itself, that brings you to a higher level of avas Hashem. So it's not just because I did something wrong, therefore I have to do more in the future. It's much deeper than that. It's that it itself is transformed to something which brings you to avas Hashem. So according to the Marsha, it's more I did something wrong, and since I have to fix it, I'm going to do more. So it's not that you don't. It's not the catalyst. It's more. More of a cause and effect. I did something wrong, therefore, since I have to fix it, I'm going to do more in the future. But technically, you could have done more in the future even if you didn't do that there. You just, but Payo, this is how it came out, that you're doing more because of the very thing you did. Over here, you couldn't have come to this higher level of avos Hashem unless you felt very far and distant from Hashem. Because you did that there, therefore, because of that, you're feeling far. It's like a person in the desert, he's extremely thirsty. It's only because you're in the desert you could feel that thirst. At that level of thirst. So it's part of the ava comes from that you're in a very far place. Therefore, the zedainis is part of the zchuyas mamash. And that's the sheichad. How could Hashem take sheichad? And how does that work? And what are the exact details? What are the gedarim? When does it apply? When it doesn't apply? And, of course, that you have to look into the Kutzisichas Chilul Amdal. And that we'll get to that in a few years.